Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.
Are you a young, up-and-coming, ambitious entrepreneur, or perhaps you're sitting in an organization, a larger organization that isn't your own, but you're eyeing that corner office? If you say yes to either of those questions, well, then you are a future CEO, and this is the show for you. Luby, sometimes you say it a lot better than I do. How did I do?
Wonderful.
Okay.
You know what I'm really trying to do? I'm trying to kind of hook our next guest into this conversation.
Well, I think that he did that off air already because he was saying, well, actually, I know. I'm not just here for what you brought me here for. I also do this and this and this. You want to introduce him?
Well, not only does he love and is a trendsetter of hair, he's into property. He's into leading young hairdressers to be the best that they can be. He's into the shampoos business. What else can this man teach us about the art of being an entrepreneur? Terenzo, introduce yourself.
Hello,
to future CEOs.
Can I just say something first? The way you grabbed me from the front door waiting outside on the sidewalk.
Yes.
I must tell you that was really special and unique. Normally when I arrive at these interviews and stuff like this, there's sometimes a sense of arrogance and a lot of nonsense around it. And it was so beautiful to see how humble you are. And your energy made me feel even more energized. And it's amazing. It's a very powerful tool. To be this energetic, this positive, your whole positive energy, which I haven't even spoken to, just oozes out of you, and it's amazing.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate it. Oh, no, you're actually not talking to me.
I wasn't talking to you.
Thanks.
But you're not bad. No.
Thanks, Terenzo.
I really mean it. I never, ever give people compliments, ever, if I don't mean it. Like, ever, ever. Not even clients. So if a client walks in, I don't do that whole hairdresser thing. Oh, darling, you look so beautiful. I don't do that at all. I just, whatever it is, you know. I wouldn't speak down at someone.
I know.
But I wouldn't compliment. So, fantastic, powerful tool to have. And in combination with that, this seems like a humility together with that as well, which is very powerful.
And Future CEOs.
We've been missing it on Future CEOs. So, we're grateful to have you back. Terence, welcome to the show. It's really good
Namaste.
To have you.
Thank you.
Just tell everyone very, very briefly, who are you? And then don't be afraid to brag. We don't mind bragging here on Future CEOs. We'll stop you if it gets a little too much, though.
How much time do you have?
Okay, James, who are you? Tell everyone who they're going to be listening to.
Well, my first name's Terence. My surname is Jansen van Vieren. And Terence comes from a name that people named me at school, a nickname. I went to an international school.
Okay.
So people are confused by the Jansen van Vieren, which is more Afrikaans surname, and the Terenzo, which is more an Italian angle.
Mm.
But the whole thing about it was that I got this nickname at school from friends, and it became my company name. So today it's called Terenzo Hairdressing International.
Mm.
I think you must ask me questions.
Well, okay, tell us what you were telling us off air. So there is Terenzo Hairdressing International.
Yes, and then there's a company called Terenzo Professional Hair Care.
Okay.
Which is a shampoo range.
Okay, wow.
Which we've launched quite recently. A professional range that's sold exclusively through hair salons.
Mm-hmm.
And high LSM position, beautiful packaging, high quality products that perform brilliantly.
Very nice.
People love it.
Then there's also a property business.
Yes, I've got a portfolio of commercial property. I only deal in commercial. I don't deal in residential at all.
Okay. Uh-huh.
Except where I live.
Sure. And then there's also training that you do internationally.
Yes, I travel around the world, and I've been lucky enough to have traveled to extensively throughout the world to train other stylists on mainly cutting and coloring.
Mm.
Occasionally, they would ask me to do the business side, but international likes to position you. So my main position is cutting.
Okay.
That's primary. Secondary is coloring. And then thirdly, they'll position me. But that's their perception, you know, of
sure.
who I am.
Sure.
I mean, they've because in Europe, the stylists are trained exclusively on one discipline.
Okay.
In South Africa, we trained on at least 2 to 3 disciplines. So most hairdressers can cut and color.
Mm.
And a lot of them can do styling quite well, like, you know, like wedding styles and stuff like that. In Europe, it's isolated to one discipline. So it's mainly cutting or coloring.
Is there a reason for that, by the way? Do you know?
I think it's that whole story about that's how it always was and that's how it is now. We one of the few countries that double or triple up on. I mean, in the old days, there used to be a thing called perming.
I know.
I'm just joking. My girlfriend always jokes and she says, please don't damage that lady's perm. Although she means cutting, coloring, she just calls it a perm to be funny. But it is quite funny, just the word perm. Do you know what it's called in Afrikaans?
What?
Fasgolf. Can you believe that?
That's
interesting.
A lovely name.
Where did it all begin? Let's take it back.
Yeah.
Inspire and just, you know what, we love journeys, we love stories on the show, so take us back. Yeah.
Well, can I take you right back to 1960, before I was born? Okay. Long before I was born. I'm very young still.
Take us back.
There was a guy with the name Vidal Sassoon, and he revolutionized hairdressing. And I think if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have done this, because the way it happens mechanically, the cutting, it's very much the way I do it. So, you know, the whole styling and perming thing, you know, was just something we had to do. But the way we're cutting today in 2016 was designed by a guy in 1960.
Okay, interesting.
I mean, we've twisted it a little bit, but he started it. So it's quite amazing. So I absolutely love the designing. For me, it's the core of hairdressing. It's the point of it is the cut. So everything else that around, like you can paint it like you want to, which means color. You can curl it like you want to. You can brush it up, you can do highlights or Brazilian blowouts, or you can put extensions and pieces and go crazy. But if the cut's not there, the core of this, the basis of your shape, then everything falls flat. So I've put so much focus and energy and attention onto that. We've mastered the art of cutting up to a super high level, and people can feel it. They go like, geez, EMY, how can you charge so much for a haircut? And then once they're there, they see now it's actually inexpensive because of the value. So I always say, if you buy a Porsche at 1 million rand, one bar, however, the value of that same Porsche was 2 million, but you paid $1 million for it, versus a Beetle, which you pay 100,000 rand for, but the actual value was 50. People feel more value in the million rand Porsche, much more.
Yeah, sure.
Although the price was 10 times the amount. That's the point of it.
Yeah, this is such a typical male, I think, viewpoint. Because for me, a haircut's a haircut, right? But it clearly isn't, because this is a very large, I mean, really billion-dollar industry, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so we mustn't be fooled when we are here sitting in this kind of forum to think that this is some kind of Mickey Mouse game.
No.
This is a very, very big industry.
L'Oreal worldwide did 24 billion euros in 1 year in 2015. So it's, you know, they're competing with Microsoft. I mean, you
correct.
Don't understand what's going on
correct.
There. I mean, our part of it is small, the professional side, but, you know, when I say small, we did 4 billion euro worldwide. So, I mean, I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the industry.
Sure.
And that's just L'Oreal.
Sure.
That's got nothing to do with Schwarzkopf or Willow.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the whole industry.
That's not the whole industry at all. That's just one single company with maybe 10 brands.
Now, you've got 3 outlets around the country. Is that correct?
Yes. We at the moment, we've just got our branch in Sandt and Dunkeld.
Okay.
Because I'm busy in the process. We're going to do an aesthetic center in Johannesburg.
Okay.
So we wanted to do everything on one property.
Sure.
So it's going to be absolutely, we're going to get into Botox and fillers, threading.
Okay, very
peels,
interesting.
Anything that's completely focused that has to be signed off by a doctor.
Okay.
So we're not doing any of the other little treatments like waxing and facials and anything that's too cute. We're doing exclusively aesthetic procedures.
Well, you spoke about a certain LSM, I think. I guess this is where it's aiming, isn't it?
Let's just be honest. Let's just talk straightforward. At the end of the day, someone that finds it difficult to pay their rent, they're not going to do Botox.
Correct.
Because, you know, it's not fatal. Yeah. It's you know, it's nice to take care of yourself, but I think you first want to eat and be safe.
Sure.
You know that Maslow's needs.
Yeah, the hierarchy.
Yeah. So it starts off there first, and then it goes through to the rest, and then you start getting vain and what all of that stuff.
What has separated you from the rest? I mean, there's only one Terenzo. What characteristics have made you define who you are and be a leader and a revolutionary in your industry?
Yeah, I think it's got to do with people always I get this question. It's a brilliant question, but to start off before I answer the whole thing, there's no magic to it. There's no one answer. It is a combination. Yeah. But one of them is the same traits as you have, that what we call enthusiasm. I had an excessive amount of enthusiasm, which why enthusiasm is there in the first place comes from passion for your thing, which sounds very cliche. Mm. But the whole thing, the passion generates enthusiasm, and enthusiasm generates success. So sometimes I would say to someone, rather be over-enthusiastic. It's fine. I'll pull you back a bit. Mm. But please don't let me push you.
Correct.
So I was often pulled back. Then to stay humble in that process is super, 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 super important. Because that's where a lot of young boys with fancy cars and tattoos and muscles and big money in the bank account become arrogant. And then they're disliked, you know. So if you can honestly try and keep yourself humble somehow, because, you know, things can change tomorrow.
Yep.
You know, and you have to keep your feet on the ground. So for me, humbleness, enthusiasm, good relationships with your colleagues, your partners, your friends and your family, keep that together. And hard work, but also clever work.
Mm.
You know, you can't just work hard. You can go and scrub floors for 100 years and work 24 hours a day. You'll never get rich. You have to think about what you're doing. You have to think about the process and study and read and communicate and surround yourself with the correct people, even friends, you know. If your friends are into recreational little things, it's not right. Yeah. Remove yourself from that.
Oh, hold on. I want to interrupt you here. Just repeat what you said, but elaborate a little bit further. You said if your friends are into recreational little things, it's not right. What does that mean?
That means if you have a friend that takes cocaine or takes dope, you know, I believe that you should remove yourself from them because it's a bad influence.
Yeah.
Try and mix with people that eat healthy, exercise.
Absolutely.
You know, they do the good things in life. And it sounds like such a conservative thing to say, but it actually influences your whole life.
And at the end of the day, it actually is a reflection of not even you, your business, your future.
I mean, the other guy that jumps out of the sports car that makes a quick line before he goes into the restaurant or the pub, you know, it looks very cool, but at the end of the day, it pulls you down as a person.
Mm.
And it seems very fun for that evening. So I say, stay clean from all sorts of drugs, take minimum amount of alcohol. And be respectful towards other people. Stay humble.
Oh, fantastic.
Be enthusiastic. Read a lot of books. I read a lot of books about.
What is your top three books that you read? We like that question.
Yeah, okay, I'm not going to give you the top three, but what I'll do, I'll give you the very first one that got me reading.
Yes, that's very nice.
It was Philip B. Cosby, Quality is Free. It's a little paperback book. I just picked it up and I started reading it. So the whole book, it's just one message. When you do something in your life, do it 100% of your ability and do it perfectly the first time.
Mm.
Because the second time around costs you money, it's emotionally tough, and you put a lot of people out because that person now has to come back for you to fix it up. And it costs you money and time and energy and effort. Just bad. Just take a little bit longer and then just do it correctly. That was the first book.
The BNI, Business Network International, the biggest business networking organization in the world. We interviewed the founder at one point, and just maybe this is echoing what you're saying, Terence, correct me if I'm wrong, but he said, I haven't done 1,000 things once. I've done one thing 1,000 times. I just did it better than everyone else. More or less. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yes. I'll give you a simple example. Like, say you do a haircut, and you're very rushed, and you're not focusing. The client has to go away. Then she, 2 weeks later, a week later, she phones you a few days and says, this is a bad haircut, something's wrong. And then she tells 20 of her friends quickly on her way back. Then you redo a haircut. Then she takes the space of someone else that could have paid in that space. Plus, she's told everybody else. You're a bit irritated and not happy yourself as a stylist. Plus, the client's very unhappy. She probably not gonna. She's now she's already nervous about the next one. Just all bad.
Mm.
You know, whether you're a dentist,
rippling effect,
or
rippling,
a hairdresser,
ripples,
or an
ripples.
Architect, or accountant.
That's a great
whatever
point.
You do, you focus on what you're doing at that particular moment. Be single-minded. Isolate yourself to that. And be brilliant at what you're doing at that moment. Even if you take slightly longer, it still costs you less at the end.
Mm.
That was the first book.
Second book. Give us another book.
Another book, yeah.
Yes, please.
Not my second one.
Okay.
Because I can't remember. Because I read,
okay, another one. Another
I've
one.
Never read a novel in my life, except those ones at school where they force you.
Oh, yeah,
I'm not joking. I'm serious. Never, ever.
Feelers are coming to those kinds of things. I remember that.
I've only read these type of books.
Okay.
The other book that got my attention, which is a little bit cliche to say, but it doesn't matter. I still loved it, was Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Okay.
So
we were talking about that book today. Yes.
Okay. Yeah, yeah. So the very first one, I've just recently bought his latest one.
Yes.
I think it's called Financial Intelligence. I'm busy reading it at the moment. I haven't got four yet. But, you know, his style of writing is so relaxed. It sounds like he's talking to you.
Mm.
He's not talking down at you. He's talking with you. He's, like, engaging us. And it's fun. And sometimes he makes jokes in between. You know, so it's very informative and it's real for now. And he doesn't take the American laws and so that you don't get it. He makes it relative to each country.
Yeah, he really does do a very good job of framing things, putting it all into a certain kind of context,
yes.
Relatable context.
Yes.
I want us to jump into your entrepreneurial journey, if that's okay, because you've got multiple streams of revenue, which is, I think, a lesson that we learned right in the beginning. Getting wealthy or rich 101, get multiple revenue streams. You've got them. This Terenzo thing. Your first salon was in 1993. You opened up in 1993. Is that correct? Is that right?
Yes, but I didn't want you to mention it because I didn't want to say my age.
Well, I apologize.
You look beautiful, honey.
Good.
You look beautiful.
So in 1993, you start this. Where did you get the courage to start a business? And then what were some of the challenges that you faced early on, especially in this industry that can be very, very competitive, and there's a lot of young people out there who want to start these kinds of businesses but are sometimes deterred by the competition.
Well, about 250 hair salons close every single year.
Okay.
Close down. I'm not sure about how many open, probably more than the 250. But the one thing before we go into that is that I find people have spoken about this, big CEOs, they stand on top of the stage and they say stuff, and a lot of this comes out. The environment is changing, so therefore you should change your way of doing things. You should change your angle. You know that old frog story, if you put the frog in the pot and you put it on one and it boils.
Sure.
And then you put it on two and eventually it wouldn't jump out. It will just boil to death. And that whole mentality is very much happening in South Africa, I think, with a lot of people. But then there's a whole bunch of people that are changing their ways. And I think that's one of the big things that we have to look at. A very good friend of mine, he's also a dentist. His name is Gijs de Nakker. He said to me, "Jy moet altyd met skape en beeste boer." So you have to have more than one dimension in your business, because if
Beautiful.
You isolate yourself to one single thing, you know, if people stop eating beef overnight, at least you can sell the sheep.
Yeah, you got sheep, yeah.
Yeah, they can sell the lamb. So
it's
important to think about what you do before you start and have your goals set out properly and understand why you've set them out.
Did you do this in 93? I mean, was this your mentality in 93? What were some of the challenges that you faced early on?
Well, the
on
challenge there? Was there was no money. The parents had no money. There was no money in the family. There was nothing.
Mm.
All I had was skill. I could feel there was something special in my hands.
Mm.
That might sound arrogant, but I
no,
don't know which other
no,
way
no,
to
no.
say
it. It's
yeah.
actually perfect.
It doesn't sound arrogant.
Perfect.
At all.
So I just felt whenever I did a haircut, like just popped, like I really got the essence out of each shape and like, every time, like even after I did it, I would have these big eyes looking into the mirror and like, look at this, like nearly in shock at my own work every time.
Yeah.
And it just kept on happening.
Mm.
Haircut, a day in and day out, week and months and eventually years. And then I realized, look, I do have it. You can accept that there's something unique in mine. And that's all I had. And I went to the bank like that, just with a skill. And then I put like a whole bunch of papers together and pretended I was really cool and smart and very clever. I didn't know what the hell was going on there, but it looked like graphs and stuff. Anyway, they gave me 20,000 rand. I didn't have a bank account. I didn't have a car. I didn't have a work. I've never had a part-time job. I didn't have any money whatsoever. So I had really nothing. And then they borrowed me 20,000, which I then used 47 of the 20. So I used more than they gave me.
I was going to say, okay, my maths isn't great, but that doesn't sound
like I'm
like,
okay,
up.
And then? yeah.
So I just overdrawn the account completely. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah.
But I knew that I was going to, I was convinced this is, I was going to make it. There was no other way for me, and I always knew that. I didn't have 1 millimeter of hesitation, like whatsoever. Not one, nothing. So it was 100%. I knew this was going to happen. Come hello, high water, hook or crook, I was going to do that.
Go.
Okay, so far you've painted a really aspirational story, but I know throughout this journey, and you're still on that journey, and we're going to ask in closing, what are your future plans? The worst, lowest time of your life as being a successful businessman.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you learn from that?
Yeah, there was a time.
Business gone wrong. bad business decision.
No, I don't know. There was a time where we had like 5 salons opening the 6th branch. I had 150 staff members. We did millions turnover. I did 2 hairdressing school. I had a head office. I had a stock company. I had layers of management and people and transport vehicles. And it was crazy. And what happened was through these millions of friends that were coming into my business and the millions that were going out, I was losing about 250,000 rand a month to profit backwards. So I was going backwards. So every month that I was producing turnover, I was going backwards. So that was the one aspect. But before that even happened, I realized I actually don't like what is happening. And I always promised myself to be honest to myself about what I stand for and what I believe in and what I would do and honesty and integrity to myself.
So did you feel like what was happening in terms of this business that is now growing, it was pulling you away from yourself and your reasons for starting?
I didn't like it at all.
What did you like?
Yeah. Well, many things, but firstly that you know, it felt like it became all about money. And so when you start chasing that, you start pushing it actually. It's like a magnet in the wrong direction.
Hey.
First point. Second point, it was for me, I'm a very creative person. So I love producing the work. Like if you ask an artist that paints to just start selling paintings, but not to paint, you'd kill him. You know, I felt like that. So I made it very aggressive changes to get myself back in. You know.
So what did you do? Did you kind of scale it down and just put it a little bit organically? It must become organic again. Is that what you did?
You don't have to scale down financially. That's the thing. You have to think about it. So financially, we're doing much better than we ever did, but we perceived smaller. But yeah, so I closed certain salons. I launched the product line. I did different things. So, yeah, you have to be authentic with yourself because you have to do what you do for the next 10, 15, 20, 30 years. So if you hate what you do, think about that you're going to hate your life. You have to love yourself and you have to love your life. To be able to love other people and love your job. And the money will come. Don't worry about the money. But you have to start there and then you can add the money issue. But if you put money first and then you say, I'll sort of wing it. You can't wing it. You have to love it. You do it every single day because you have to get up and you have to be motivated. You have to go to gym, have some physical exercise. Then you go to work. Then you stay there for 12 hours or 10 hours. But that's half your life because then you go home, you eat and whatever you do. And then you got to sleep for 10 hours or 8 hours. So if you think about it, your life is your work. So if you don't love that, you don't love your life.
Libby, I don't think we've ever had someone that is clearly so strong and so focused on as you've now said, doing what you love, and then as a result, as a natural progression of having, and you used the term earlier, there was something special in my hands.
Oh, I love that.
That was very nice. Mm. I don't think we've ever heard someone or had someone on the show that has been able to personify this the way that Terence is right here, and it really then speaks to his success. And I love the fact that what you have done is you didn't just try and get bigger. You came back to the core. You went back to, what do I really like to do? Why am I different? What makes me...
And quality.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you believe the time?
I can't believe the time.
We could stay here forever with you.
I told you 3 days.
You did say...
Can I say one more thing?
Yes!
Let's use this as a final comment. I'm sorry to do that. Yeah.
Just on the future, for where we are now.
Yes. I can't believe the time.
Together with...
L'Oreal.
No.
Oh, sorry, my bad.
You're very bad.
Sorry.
Yeah. We are, for the future, going to start an aesthetic center.
Yes.
In on the same premises in Dunkeld. We're doing a full aesthetics with the... So that was part of my reasoning for isolating it to doing everything on one premises. So if you say, but what's the point of it? The point of it is we want to make women look and feel beautiful. Mm. And you'll be able to have top specialist doctors on the premises, whether you're bleaching your teeth or whether you're having Botox or whether you're doing a peel or whatever is necessary for you. And my authenticity would be not to do one single treatment that makes money but doesn't really work. Mm. It needs to actually create and make a, you know, that whole feeling of youthfulness and, you know, making you beautiful and also prevention. Because often people say, but I don't have wrinkles, why do I have to do Botox? But it can prevent as well. So for me, everyone wants to look a little younger, a little sexier, and a little thinner, and be a little richer. Am I right?
Yes.
Now we know why Terence is doing so well.
Yeah,
because he creates feeling, he creates emotion, he connects with people. Unfortunately, that's all we have time for in this conversation with you, Terence. But it's been a great, great pleasure, and we wish you all the best. And I don't know about you, but maybe I should go a little bit of Botox. So we'll come and visit you on the premises there. He's whispering something out. Anyway.
You're absolutely incredible, and was just, the pleasure was all ours.
Okay, cool.
Thank you for being here. Thank you so much.
We love you. Thank you so much.
Okay. All right. After the break, are going to be talking education again. We spoke a few weeks ago about education, but it's such an important and also dynamic and ever-changing.
And unique.
Exactly, field. And so we're going to be talking about that right after this.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. This is CliffCentral.com.
Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com.